This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid
to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. See live off the record with Vocal Lens, brought to you by the Sports Center, RF Banking Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. This wake up to your life Thursday afternoon. You know, we do this the first Thursday in every month. So we have some special guests will be with us today as we talk about health. I know you got some other stuff going on, but hey, if you're not living well, that other stuff isn't going to really be very helpful, is it? If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 424-796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. You can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So before I get to my health guests, we do have with us Mr. Ivory Johnson, who has something special coming up called Envision You. Do we have Ivory with us?
Yes, sir. Good day to you. And how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. I had my body was kind of telling me, you need to rest. So I took a little snooze. So I'm feeling a little bit more refreshed right now.
Well, that's absolutely phenomenal.
I was envisioning myself refreshed.
That's absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, they got a little joke in my household. Anytime persons speak about ailments and challenges, I often respond, I got something for that. And so we have some things today that we want to share with you. But I have two very special guests that I brought along with me are part of this event that we're calling Believe Bahamas. And it's really highlighting some new products, health products that we believe are absolutely phenomenal. In studio with me, I have Dr. Edward Clay and Dr. Helen Delahousse Clay with me. And I'm telling you, business partners of mine. And they are here to also speak about this phenomenal opportunity and this experience, of course, testimonies of what these products have already done and manifested. When we speak of these two individuals, if I could just say a bit about them.
Hi, good afternoon.
I'm not sure what's going on in the background there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, good. Go ahead, Bud Johnson.
Yeah, just to share a little bit about our guests here, Dr. Helen, she is, I'm telling you, one of those persons whom I've had the opportunity to work with. She is what I call an equipper and an empower. She has helped so many persons to become financially free. She is an international author, bestseller. She also shares so much in the area of belief and self-care. And through health and wellness, fitness, she's helped over 200 families become first-time millionaires. And I'm talking not what I heard or someone told me, but what I have seen and experienced. She's also a breast cancer survivor after being given a 7% chance to live. So I'm telling you, this is someone that is speaking from the vantage point of experience. But a little more about her, Coach Helen. She's here today to discuss real solutions with us of persons dealing with, I believe, real challenges. She's brought along her phenomenal husband, and he is also, I'm telling you, a friend, I believe, and one who is par excellence. He's not only a member of the Kappa Alpha Phi fraternity, but he is a founder of the Just Take the Shot nonprofit organization. He has worked in and among and served in top leadership in Fortune 500 companies over the years. He's received his Series 7 Master Education. I could go on and on about the qualifications of these two individuals. But, Shivago, what I want to say to those that are listening is we're joined today by two Houstonians. I think that's how they refer to them, from Houston, Texas, that are just phenomenal persons. I've worked with them over the years, and I'm so happy and privileged to have the opportunity to work with them again. And we have the actual CEO of our company coming to be with us this weekend, this Sunday evening at 5 p.m. at the Breezes Hotel. His name is Mr. David Emaniti. He's going to be landing here in the city on tomorrow and spending the weekend with us. And so for us, this is just a phenomenal, phenomenal opportunity to have this, I mean, tremendous gift with us. So I wanted to introduce them to you. They're going to be sharing a little more about what's going to be happening this weekend and what persons can expect.
Okay, maybe I missed it, but okay, I know Coach Helen you introduced, but her husband's name?
Dr. Edward Clay.
Clay, yes. Okay, mm-hmm. Great.
Yes, yes.
Welcome, folks. Welcome to Z Live.
Well, great day. Great day. How are you?
Happy to be here.
I am mostly good.
I understand. I overstand.
If I was doing a test, I'd be like 90%. I'd be good.
Okay. Well, I am amazing, improving every second. And if I was doing any better, they'd have to clone me.
Oh, sounds like a plan.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for having us on your show today, sir.
Thank you for coming. Okay. And so you have an event coming up on Sunday at 5 p.m. at the Super Club Breezes. And you're talking about what in particular?
Absolutely. So, again, thank you for having us on your show, King. I've heard a lot about you. And throughout the years, we have been no stranger. We're a friend to this station, Guardian Radio. We're also a friend to the Bahamas. This is considered our home when we come here. So, I heard you say that we're here for wellness, and you're absolutely right. But not only health wellness, we are also here to tackle and expose truth and also deal with the myths of money. So money wellness as well. So we'll be dealing with both of those today on Sunday at 4 o'clock sharp. The doors will open as we present what has never been presented to the Bahamas or even into the world until the phenomenal company under the visionary of Mr. David Emaniti, Dr. David Emaniti, formed a company called Envision You. And Envision You is a health and wealth company. With all of the things that's going on in the world today, if we just can skew over quickly to the health and wellness component, I don't know whether your listening audience is aware, but today they will absolutely be empowered and enriched to understand that mental health is a crisis, and it's a crisis all over the world. We have all natural products that deal with health challenges in the mind, and it reverses generational curses such as depression and anxiety and post-traumatic stress disorders. All of those things are real, and typically it happens with the strong. You know, I come from a lineage of very strong, strong people, especially women. And big shout out, by the way, because this is March, International Women's Month. So big shout out to all the women, especially the women that wear a hat and a mask. They wear a hat of they're the police officer in the house, and they're the firefighter, They are the maids at times, and they are the chefs, and they are the referees, you know, making sure they diffuse the confusion in the household and on the workplace. And there are CEOs at times. There are supervisors. There are managers of raising their children, the different personalities that they have to deal with. And they also are caregivers, but often no one's taking care of them. And it starts in the mind. See, there was a myth a long time ago that most diseases, if not all, that become terminal, it is a time where it starts in the gut. That's what we were always taught to believe, that all diseases start in the gut. The disease of cancer and heart disease and diabetes and high blood pressure, and I could go on and on. Autoimmune system, you know, disorders, all of those things start in the gut. Well, I'm here to tell you that's a lie. That's a flat-out lie. Diseases, some do start in the gut, but most start in the mind. And I'll never say anything unless I can prove it. So what you lay your eyes on and what goes into your ear gate then goes to your brain. Your brain then formulates thoughts that turn into feelings. Feelings turn into emotions. Emotions turn into words. Words turn into activity known as action. Action turns into behavior. Behavior turns into history. And history turns into legacy. When you're dead and gone, what will they remember you by? So, when you think of what lies in your mind, your brain, those thoughts, those emotions, that's what has people up at night, where they're not sleeping nor are they resting. Okay, so if they're dealing with insomnia, where they're not resting, what happens then? The Bible says your body is designed to heal itself, especially when it's in rest mode. Well, if it's never in rest mode, how then can it heal itself? It's impossible. Okay, so if you're not resting, you're stressing. If you're stressing, your blood pressure is going through the roof. That's why so many people are waking up, you're listening to the audience, and they feel lightheaded. They see stars in front of their eyes. They feel discombobulated. They don't know where to scratch. They watch or whine. They're behind. They're so discombobulated. And so what happens is they go throughout the day, and they begin to think of everything that has happened in their past. As they're going to work, they start off dark 30. They get home dark 30. They don't have more month. I mean, they have way more month than money. Ends are not meeting. They're not even winking at one another. So then they also deal with the stress of how I'm going to get this done. But you can't tell anybody that, typically, because you wonder what they think of you if they know you're weak, if they know you're going through something, if they know you're sad, if they know you're depressed. And God forbid you use the word depression, especially in the church. Okay, we'll get to that in a moment. But you can't tell people. Go ahead.
I do want you to know that we have a limited time for the segment, so I want to make sure we get to your event and get the number of
absolutely
the details people need.
So we'll scoot over to that. So on Sunday, your question was, what can they expect? They can expect to get products that reverse insomnias. They can expect to get products that deal with mental health challenges. They can expect to get with products that reverse obesity, high blood pressure, insomnia. I mean, you name it. Okay, so we have an array of health and wellness products. And we also have a great product in the form of a digital asset that can get you Wi-Fi money, you know, right on your phone when you're scrolling through social media and you're looking at all these things that are not paying you. We have a solution for those that are dealing with bronchitis. That's another disease, okay?
Okay.
So the digital assets is what we're going to be talking about as well. We have someone who is a multi-millionaire maker. He's very wealthy. He will be coming here. He's an author. He's a man after God's own heart. He's a man of honor and valor. And he's coming on the ground, Dr. David Emonitier, and he will be here at the Breezes. Doors open at 4:05 Central. We will start promptly. And let me give you the numbers. Because I wasn't told about the time that we had. So no problem, okay? So let me give you the phone numbers, all right? So if you want to register for this event, okay, this is not a free event, but the first 25 callers that say they heard it on your show, we will get them VIP access. And for those that want to purchase tickets that are very affordable, you can go to BelieveBahamas.com. That's www.BelieveBahamas.com. You can also dial this number, 242 is your area code, 376-8403. That's 242 376-8403. Okay? There's another number that you can dial, your area code, 449-5830. That's 449-5830. And then our WhatsApp number is a Texas number. You can reach us on WhatsApp at 713-303-0595. That's 713-303-0595. And we will put you on the VIP list. Again, the first 25 callers, we will register. So you may, it may be you, or you may have someone that you say you love and you care about that needs to be at this event. We will be giving out free products. We will be teaching digital courses that you can use immediately to start making money immediately, in the form of, if you want to deal with real estate, but you don't want to purchase it. So we have a way. It's the best kept secret of how you can capitalize and maximize off real estate without making a purchase. We have a way that you can capitalize and maximize off of the world of transportation without making a purchase. So these are very kept secrets that our nationalities, people of color, don't typically know about, but you're going to find out about it on Sunday, and you're going to find a way where you can win right now, not next week, not next month, but right now.
And it starts at 5 o'clock.
It starts at 5 o'clock. Doors open at 4 at the Breezes. And it will be standing room only. The event is almost sold out anyway. So, you know, I don't even know if there's any more tickets left, to be honest with you. But go to BelieveBahamas.com to purchase your ticket, or be one of the callers, the first 25, and you will get in VIP. And you will have an intimate evening with myself, Dr. Edward Clay, and also Dr. David Imonitier. And we are all from Houston, Texas, where the company, the headquarters, is based out of Houston, Texas, which is Envision U.
Well, Brother Johnson, come back and let us know how it goes. Thank you so very much. We hope all the best for the event.
Man, I thank you so much for accommodating us, and hope you get some rest. And I will definitely reconnect with you next week and give you some samples of our products so that you can test them for yourself.
Thank you, my brother. Y'all have a great one. Thank you, Coach Helen and Dr. Clay.
Yes.
Dr. Clay.
Thank you, brother. I really appreciate your time on the show.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. And when we come back, we're talking kidneys. We'll be back after this break. Through the storm, whatever weather.
You see how Cora's eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does this work?
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone, so nobody can know what you saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
With so much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to die.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, where now we are waking you up to life. First Thursday in every month with Doctors Hospital, Dr. Janet Martin. And today we have with us a very special guest, Dr. Frederick Smith, internal medicine, general and transplant nephrologist. And so we're so happy to have him with us. But I'm going to invite Dr. Martin now to tell us a little bit more about what we're going to be talking about today, folks. Dr. Martin? Yes, all right.
I'm so sorry. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to our listening audience. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang and Dr. Smith. Yes, so today Dr. Smith is going to speak to the general public and to all of us who are listening in about kidney disease, the beginnings, the start of kidney disease, how it's diagnosed, and the treatment protocols for persons who are receiving dialysis, for persons who are not receiving dialysis, for persons who are nearing the transplant list. I will turn this over to Dr. Frederick Smith now. He's very able. And any questions that you may have, please do not hesitate to text them to Mr. Lang so that we can pick the brain of Dr. Frederick Smith while we have him in our company.
Super. Dr. Smith, you know, every time we have one of these, I like to look at what they call interesting facts about the thing that we are talking about, these kidneys, because I have to confess, I think the kidneys might be one of the most mysterious organs in the body for me. I didn't know a whole lot about it. But I did find out that your average kidney, they say, is as big as a cell phone and weighs about 4 to 6 ounces.
Well, quite interesting that you say the cell phone, because, I mean, I think typically people say cell phone, and I'm holding my cell phone up in front of my hand now, and I guess it depends on which one you're talking about, because if it's an iPhone Max Pro, I think your kidney's a little smaller than that.
Okay.
A little smaller than that. I think that what they typically say is the size of a fist. Okay. The kidneys, depending on your height, may be a little bigger. They say the last three of your lumbar vertebrae could be the size of it. Or okay. They talk about that 10-centimeter kidney or 9 to 10 centimeters. 10 plus or minus, mm-hmm. Depending if it's the right or the left side. And I think I got a little better that way as opposed to these cell phones, because I could be very variable.
What does the kidneys do actually?
So good question. Kidneys, what do they do? So the kidneys do a whole lot. I think that what we know about predominantly is the kidneys have excretory type of function, i.e. it allows us to pass urine. So in passing that, we call it an excretory organ. And in that, it excretes as well as it filtrates. So it passes out that waste, but it allows some things to go back into the body, some things to go into the urine. And even beyond that, as mysterious as it can be, the kidney also is involved in some other things, like some endocrine type of functions. It's involved in the way the amount of hemoglobin that we produce. It's involved in some way, shape, or form in the way we maintain bones or bones form with the whole thing with calcium and vitamin D and phosphorus. It's involved in even the way that we manage the use of diabetes or the treatment of diabetes. It's involved in peeing out salts and water, so it helps us to control blood pressures or not control it, depending if it's working or not. So I think, as you say, it's very mysterious, or not a very, if not mysterious, it got a lot going on. There are lots of things that the kidneys are involved in.
Absolutely. Now, we have two, or most people have two, but my understanding is that it is possible to live with one.
So the good Lord, in all of his glory and wisdom, gave us two kidneys. And if we, for all intents and purposes, said that each kidney was worth 50% of what that total load is of burden, although we know it's not typically that way, It is, we generally don't put people on dialysis until they have a kidney function that's less than 15%. Mm. So that's like taking a whole kidney out and a half of another and then half of that.
Wow.
So truthfully, we can live with very small portions of our kidney or kidney function. Quite correct.
I saw something that said that you can have children.
Like real quick, for transplant.
Oh.
Right? All of those donors that are in our population, all of those people that have family members or even know people that have kidney disease, it's quite okay to donate one of those kidneys because you have enough function in the other one that should be able to support you if you don't have other conditions that preclude that.
I saw some information that suggested that, like, sometimes a child could be born with one kidney and that one kidney grows to the size of the two kidneys combined. I was like, is this for real?
So it's for real, but not really real.
Okay. Ooh. But the point is we can live with one kidney if necessary.
Correct. And then if I could answer your question before you run away from it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like when you go to the gym, and I can't say that I've been to the gym in forever, but you go to the gym and you start to build muscle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you get more muscles. What you do is you just strengthen the ones that are there. They get a little thicker. And then if you stop going to the gym, you start to look flabby. So kidneys are almost the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You're born with the amount of what we call nephrons, the small parts of the kidneys that you're going to have.
Right.
They only drop out after birth. They don't get any more. So what happens is with one kidney, that kidney is working harder than it's supposed to be. So it's like going to the gym and it builds up and it gets thicker. But after a while, or it would be called hypertrophy, but after a while, it can't get any stronger. And so it only starts to dilate after that and the function then drops.
Mm-hmm. When you are looking at a kidney to examine it for healthiness, what is it that you're looking for? And how do you look for it? What are the tests, the kinds of things that are done to say to a patient, you know what? We've examined what we need to examine, and your health, your kidneys are working well.
So what we look for predominantly, several things. I'm going to tell you that you need to have your blood test done.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one of the greatest things that we're going to use, or the more specific things that we use. So I jumped the gun of history and symptoms, and I've gone to the fact, like hypertension, kind of silent killer. Sometimes there are no signs. But what you need to do is go and get your blood test done. And what we look for is the creatinine, the thing called the blood urine nitrogen. We look at the way the body is handling the potassium, the way it's handling the calcium and the phosphorus. And even outside of that, then we look at the way it's handling the blood count. So the hemoglobin changes a little bit. So there are a couple of blood tests, and there are others that we use as basic things. We look at the urine. We look at the urine to see if it's bubbly, to see if they think there's protein in the urine. So we dip the stip and see if there's protein, if there is blood. Because if there's protein and there's blood, it means the filtering system isn't working the way it's supposed to work.
Mm.
We do other things. We ask for an ultrasound. We ask for ultrasounds to see the size of the kidney, the shape of the kidney. The way it looks on the ultrasound tells us if we think it's working well or not. So there's that. And outside of that, and I guess what we should have spoken out first was we ask about symptoms. Mm-hmm. So sometimes there's a change in the taste in the mouth. Protein or meat starts to taste a little metallic. Sometimes it's as simple as your hair starts to drop out. Sometimes you get a little change in your skin color. You start to look a little darker, or you start to look a little ashy. Sometimes the urine output is not as much as it was. And even more commonly, you start to swell up a little bit. So we go down and we see people that have the little swelling in their legs and their eyes become puffy. So there are tons and tons of things that can happen.
And these symptoms, for instance, like the swelling and what have the ashiness, they reflect the fact that what the kidneys are supposed to be flushing out of the system isn't being flushed out, and that's creeping the havoc on the body?
So it reflects the ashiness and stuff, yes. So in my scientific term, we talk about middle molecules. It says that some things, like some hormones, like something like called PTH, parathyroid hormone, is going up because, watch this, vitamin D isn't being converted the way it's supposed to be, so that you're trying to get, and so the calcium isn't reabsorbed. So we try to pull calcium from the bone. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the kidney isn't working well. You can't pee out the phosphorus. And then all of these things start to build up in the skin, and the skin color changes. You start to get itchy. You start to look ashy. That smooth, dark complexion turns into like, oh, wow, there's something a little wrong. It just doesn't look quite right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it says that the kidneys are not doing their filtery roles or the excretion roles or even the secretory roles the way it's supposed to.
Doc, we're going to take a break, but when we come back in, can we talk about the diseases of the kidneys? What are the things that actually reflect a kidney that's going wrong? So when we come back from the break, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll take a break right now. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Frederick Smith as we talk about your kidneys and mine. We'll be back after this break.
Take my walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Get your Carifta tickets. The 58th Carifta Games is coming April 7th to April 10th. Tickets are on sale now online at Carifta50.com or at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium, Western Grand Entrance. For more details, email tickets at Carifta50.com or call 605-4051.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this Wake Up to Your Life Thursday with Doctors Hospital. We're here with Dr. Janet Martin and Dr. Frederick Smith, and we're talking about our kidneys. So, Doc, what are the ways in which the kidneys can be affected in terms of health? What happens?
So, this is one of those times when I said, I'm not quite sure what you're asking me.
Okay, what are the diseases of the kidney then?
Okay, yeah. I get that one.
Yeah.
So, they can have primary kidney diseases, or we can have kidney problems because of other things that happen in life.
Mm.
In the first iterations, and I guess I'll go back to the USRDS data. So it's just one of those regulatory boards that gives out statistics in from the U.S. Renal USRDS data survey, I think it is. But in any event, they say that the number one cause of kidney disease is diabetes. Number two being hypertension. Sometimes they flip-flop and hypertension becomes number one, diabetes becomes number two. And there's two diseases that cause kidney disease and quite prevalent in our population. I think if we speak about the dialysis units that are here in country, I think the number one cause is probably diabetes and then hypertension, the diabetes that's sometimes been linked with the hypertension. If I care to throw another horse in the race, so to speak, I'll throw metabolic disease in there. Metabolic disease or metabolic syndrome being our necks are too big, our body mass index is greater than 30, our waist hip circumference are elevated, our arm circumferences are large. Truthfully, we look solid. We look like the typical solid Bahamian, where everybody says looks really good. Mm-hmm. But the reality being, what it is at times we're overweight and we're putting extra pressure on the kidneys. Mm. So three things so far. We're going to say metabolic syndrome or metabolic disease, obesity. I'm going to coin that phrase and use that. We talk about diabetes. We talk about hypertension. Then we do have things like infectious diseases. So the population of HIV positive patients, there's a higher risk of kidney disease. We do talk about this thing, what they call glomerulonephritis, meaning almost like a primary kidney disease, and it causes everything to overwork and then the kidneys not to work as well as they should. We, in a Black Caribbean population, female predominantly, we talk about things like collagen vascular disease, things like systemic lupus erythematosus. And then just add one, well, actually two more to that table. We can even talk about cancers, whether it's prostate cancer, ovarian cancer, cancer of the lungs. And
is there ever cancer of the kidney itself?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Shivang, do you know what cancer is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cancer is any cell that divides, that divides too much or it's unregulated. So right. Any of our cells in our body, and I think I heard your prior guest talking about sleep and rejuvenation, and I think that that's what happens a lot during sleep. We have rejuvenation of cells, they start to divide.
Right.
So that's normal, but when it divides and it's not regulated, then it turns into cancer because it just keeps going and going and going.
Right.
So yes, any and every organ can have cancer to it.
Okay. But by and large, the kidney tends to get affected because other things are going on in the body that causes stress and challenges for the kidneys, it seems.
So predominantly, I think what we've seen in our population, when I look at the dialysis units here and the renal clinics here, most that I've been involved in, and you know, there are other nephrologists and they have other opinions. However, most times what we're seeing is kidney disease secondary to something else. Even if it is our obesity and our eating too much, as I'm sure this John will talk about.
If a person's kidneys are starting to deteriorate and off malfunction, what are the symptoms typically that one might expect or look for?
So, as kind of said before, sometimes the urine gets frothy and bubbly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's more urine versus less urine, depending on what the condition is. Sometimes there's blood in the urine. Sometimes we see the protein in the urine. Sometimes we get swelling of our feet, hands, face. Sometimes the blood pressure goes up. Sometimes if you're diabetic here and you're taking insulin or taking medication, the sugar starts to drop because the medication stays in the system too long. There are quite a few things. We get that swollen, that ashy looking appearance. We get darker at times because of it. There's weight loss that's associated with it. There's the tummy becoming a little bit more swollen or pronounced. The shortness of breath. And fluid starts to settle in the lungs or around the heart. There's chest pain, there's racing of your heart. I could go on and on and on.
But it seems to me like those symptoms, and I'm asking, can be in when you are in an advanced stage, right? But it seems like you can almost be deteriorating for some time before those kinds of things appear. That true or not? So we should probably be more proactive than not.
Quite correct. There are lots of things that can happen. They get lots of things that could mimic other diseases as well.
Okay. So once a person presents with I don't know if the right term is kidney failure, what happens on that road or path to dialysis?
So help me understand your question.
I'm saying as a patient progresses in their situation, right, with their kidney failing, and you get to this place where you say, you know what, you have to go for dialysis. Talk to us about what that entails.
Okay. So invariably it means that you have to go see the doctor. Invariably, you've seen the doctor there and truth. If it is something that is so acute that it's causing an immediate problem now, most times you will end up in the emergency room that way. Mm. And then you get started through the emergency room, get admitted to the hospital and get access and everything else. If it is not acute and is something that we can see going down the road, which is the way we prefer it, because we don't like people to start as an acute start. What we like to do is prepare them for it. Mm. Then what we can do is come through the office and we send you to the appropriate doctors to put in what they call the access. The access can be multiple things. The access can be a catheter, what we put in the chest, or the access can be a fistula or a graft, which requires a surgery, so we send you to the surgeon. Mm. The access can also be something that we put in the tummy called a Tenkoff catheter. And doing that, that tells us whether we're going to do one or two types of dialysis. The dialysis with the blood would be called hemodialysis, or the dialysis with the stomach would be called peritoneal dialysis. So depending on how conscientious you have been or how acutely your disease process has come on, we can do it the very safe way of through clinics and doing things whilst you're relatively well in anticipation. And if not, you're coming in what we call extremis, kind of crashing as you're coming in. Then what we do is it's basically through the emergency room and done through the hospital acutely that way.
You were mentioning the two kinds of dialysis. I think one was peritoneal.
Peritoneal, yes, right. Sir.
And the other one?
Is hemodialysis.
Okay, and the difference between the two of those?
The difference? Couple of differences. Well, major difference. One is done through the blood and one is done through the tummy. So one is done where we put the catheter in the blood vessels, or the fistula, the graft is done through the blood vessels, and we put needles or connect the catheter to a machine. Your blood goes through the machine. And we do that typically 4 hours, 3 times per week. Or we put a tube in the tummy, and when the tube goes in the tummy, we fill the fluid, the tummy, with the fluid that we call peritoneal fluid, and we use the body's abdominal wall, the inside of it, to act as, this semi-permeable membrane, mm-hmm. like in school when we put the potato in the water and mm-hmm. the dye went in and put it in water, and right. we use that as the membrane to clear okay. the toxins.
And the point of dialysis is to do what ultimately?
To help you to do the two things that you're not doing anymore, the two major things that you're not doing anymore.
Right.
One, excretion, which is getting rid of waste. Mm-hmm. And two, filtration, or changing electrolytes between the body and that solution or the blood.
Okay. Doc, I just wanted to make sure, are you able to be with us after we come back from this news break or not?
You're trying to get me in trouble on Guardian Radio.
I got in trouble because we need to hear from you, man. You're
God teaching God bless. Good day, sir.
We'll talk to you then after we come back from the news break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us. Man, I'm learning about the kidneys today. So when we come back from the news break, we will continue our discussion with Dr. Frederick Smith. We'll be back after this news break. Through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are here with Dr. Janet Martin and Dr. Frederick Smith. As you know, today is our Wake Up to Your Life with Doctors Hospital, where we talk about health matters on this first Thursday in the month. And Dr. Smith is helping us understand better our kidneys. March is kidney month. Kidney month, yes. And so we want to give you as much information as we can. Dr. Smith, I don't know what the statistics are, but I do know that we have what was once described, I think, by Dr. Duane Sands when he was addressing the Government and Public Policy Institute in a lecture. We have a epidemic, almost a crisis of non-communicable diseases in this country. It's just, whether it's diabetes or high blood pressure, and so forth and so forth. And so my understanding is that the number of dialysis patients in the Bahamas, people who are plagued with kidney failure, is significant in the country. Is that so?
So I guess we have to look at that in multiple ways. I think that the question about it being significant or not. So significant is in comparison to what, in comparison to where. I think we have a significant component of diabetics, hypertensives. We have a significant component of people with other medical illnesses. And once we start to take care of those other medical illnesses, then we're going to start to see the complications of them. So the complication of diabetes that's not been controlled for a while is going to be eye disease, heart disease, kidney disease. The complication of hypertension that's not been controlled for a while, same thing. Strokes, heart attacks, kidney disease, blindness. So I think that as we start to tease those things out, and our primary care physicians even become better at taking care of chronic disease, it means that we're going to see the complications of chronic disease later, more so in our population. So whether it is that we have the uncontrolled people that are giving us a lot of kidney disease, or we have people that have had disease processed for long periods of time, plus some of the minus some of the medication used to treat it, and we have more kidney disease, I think it's going to, the secondary complication of kidney disease is going to grow, and it's going to continue to grow.
Okay, so if you're listening to the show today, and you know, one of the things that I heard early, I adhered to early, was when you turn 40, this is only what they told, this is what I heard, when you turn 40, you need to be going in for an annual physical. You need to be getting an annual checkup to check your critical functions and all that kind of stuff. And I started doing that. So almost every year from I was 40 years old, I would go in for an executive physical, a number of which I've done now at Doctors Hospital quite satisfactorily. And, you know, they tell me what's going on with my blood, what's going on with my skin, with my bones, you know, and that kind of stuff. And so I get to see over time changes, positive and negative, and then therefore can address what change, what issues I might have. Even with Dr. Martin and talking to me about my diet and what things I may need to continue doing or things I may need to adjust, et cetera. So how much... what do we need to do to stay away from or to prevent as much as we can kidney issues?
So I think that you've hit the nail on the head in the first instance, Shivago. I think that you've hit the nail on the head when you talk about your chronic follow-up with your physicians. And in this instance, we're going to say primary care physicians, because the primary care physician is then supposed to be involved, or is involved not predominantly, but a good bit in prevention of disease or complications of disease. So if you have done the correct thing that typically most of us Bahamian men don't do, and I mask my own toes here. But you've done the appropriate thing of going to see your physician lead, and then we've done all the appropriate screenings. Then there are lots of things that we could kind of pull out of it so that we could go ahead and prevent some of the complications or prolong the complication from its incident of disease to when the complications happen. So I think that that's a wonderful thing to do. I think that's what we're supposed to do. And I guess since we are speaking with the hat of Doctors Hospital, then I must also throw into this that Dr. Warner Rogers with a prime care program have done a yeoman's job in going ahead and reaching out to persons. They have a good team there that include things like Dr. Jan with the dietitian. There is therapy. So that there are the workout classes and that sort of thing. Lifestyle changes are what we need to do outside of just our primary visits. And I think if we do that, then we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, and let's park here for a minute because I really want to stress to folk the importance of doing these annual physicals. I mean, okay, so I do an executive physical at Doctors, and I will see Dr. Rogers when I do so. And, you know, doctors tell me, doctors, look at the numbers. And doctors say, okay, you like this? I like this. We're doing really good there. Now, let's talk about this. so we go over that stuff. Now, so not everybody may be able to do an executive physical, but there is the opportunity to have the very basic set of things done, as you indicated, the blood tests and the like, to check for the proper functioning of your kidneys and the like. And people can do that on a regular basis, no?
Yeah, and you know, you say nobody has the financial resource, because I think
people may not.
Yeah, and I was about to say, I think I interpreted your, I think I'm reinterpreting your statement to put it in my own words, where people may not have, and you're saying people may not have the financial resources to go ahead and do your executive physical. But you know what? Governments, and I am by no means doing the political thing here, but government has done a good job in our healthcare system where we have primary care at our community clinics. They've done the good thing where we have NHI, which is predominantly supposed to be for preventative measures, mm-hmm. and doing mm-hmm. the same sort of things. So watch this on your own talk show, Chivago. We have the means mm-hmm. of being able to go in and get the appropriate measures done. Look at Doctors Hospital. They have that whole big building, CMC, Centerville Medical Center, where we have all of these prime care physicians, the prime care physicians who accept NHI. Right. So we can't say that we don't have the ability to do it.
Right. And just to pick up where Dr. Smith just mentioned, we do have the availability of the services through NHI, and Doctors Hospital has the LAMP program, which is a very nominal fee, a small fee per month that gives you your free nutritional consult, your free doctor's visit, where the doctor would perform an assessment of all of those labs, all of the blood works, your physical assessment, and sit down with you and guide you through some changes, and then refer you to persons like myself or our in-hospital dietitian, registered dietitian. So money or not money. Having the means should not deter us from taking better care of our health.
And I think that is absolutely fantastic news. And I thank Dr. Smith and yourself for reminding us about that, the fact that there is this avenue through the National Health Insurance, if you're registered, to be able to go do these preventative things. And that's one of the things that they wanted to push up front, is doing the kinds of, they having access to the kinds of preventative services that can put us in a place where we don't have to deal with dialysis and the like, right?
That's certainly correct. Because once you have that annual physical under National Health Insurance, and persons are determined that they're either pre-diabetic or diabetic, and they're uncontrolled diabetics or uncontrolled hypertensives, they're referred to myself or the in-hospital dietitian for assessments and then medical nutrition. And so, you know, there's no reason why we should not take better care of ourselves. The tools are there. You come to see a person like myself or our in-house nutritionist or dietitian, and we would give you the tools. So, you know, and you're not out of pocket if you use national health insurance.
We have a caller on the line. Let's take that call. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Brother Lang, how are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Good evening to the doctors.
Good afternoon.
Doc, the Bahamian people are consuming a lot of alcohol. The average Bahamian goes out every week and work hard to the place where they're stressed. And so a lot of their way of unwinding is stop to a bar on a weekend, consume a lot of alcohol. Coupled with that is the kind of food they eat, right? And they call that unwinding for the weekend, not taking into consideration how that's going to affect their kidney or their health. Stress. It is evident in the proliferation of bars and fast food restaurants we see popping up everywhere. While it may be good for the economy, it's not good for the average Bahamian in terms of health. I believe the government could do more in terms of making foods that are healthy, more affordable. While we are focusing on reducing chicken eggs, I think we need to focus more on producing healthy foods, right? So speak to the issue of unhealthy food that are contributing to kidney disease. Thank you.
Doc?
So caller, I think that you hit the nail on the head, and we call that lifestyle changes. So whether that is the use of alcohol, whether that's the use of nicotine, whether that is the lack of exercise, whether that's our food choices and where they fall on that food pyramid, I think that that's what you speak of is real. Alcohol. So just to speak to that very quickly, I do agree that our consumption of alcohol in the archipelago of the Bahama lands is astronomical. Even if we look at the strength of a drink that we typically pour here versus what we've seen in some other places. So they had something, I was redoing this course through Harvard Medical School the other day, and one of the things that they brought out was that if you had more than 2 units or 2 drinks of alcohol, if you have hypertension and you have more than that 2 units of alcohol or the 2 drinks of alcohol, it worsens the control of your hypertension and it causes worse outcomes. I agree with you. We need to do something different in our lifestyles. And that is the beginning of what we need to do for each and every non-communicable disease, lifestyle change.
Now, you know, Doc, I'm so glad that they raised this question of eating and drinking, because now I want to get to the question that sometimes baffles people. Water, how much water? Well, it could be water, but it could be some other drink, but what you need is that fluid. What's the best guidance on water fluids for helping our kidneys function?
So I'm going to do the coward's way out on this one, and I'm going to say one or two things about it, and then ask Dr. John to say the rest. So
okay,
so they have, just like how we're doing Kidney Month now. A few years ago during the Kidney Month, one of the lectures was about how much water to drink. My suggestion is minus carbonation, minus the alcohol content, minus some of the sugar content. Then what we should be doing is thinking of drinks that are like-minded. And with that, I defer to Dr. John.
Okay.
So what we're looking at with persons who are not diagnosed with kidney disease or who are not on dialysis, you want to drink about eight to 10 ounce glasses of water a day. Now, if you're out in the sun, if your work is out, you know, you're outdoors working, your body is going to require more water because you're sweating more. You're losing a lot of fluids just through movement and the sun. But I recommend starting the day off with water. Drink a glass of water throughout the day. Sip on water throughout the day. A glass of water prior to having your meal and a glass of water after having your meal because it aids in digestion. But of course, if you're on peritoneal dialysis or hemodialysis, you want your physician, and the nurse within the dialysis unit, they will calculate the amount of water that you should have in a 24-hour period.
You know, I have been so, well, I wouldn't call it obsessed, but I certainly have been mindful of the need to have adequate amounts of water. But I also know that it hadn't been easy for me, right, to do it. You know, I'd much rather go to some sweet drink or the other. So what I started doing, because I don't want to, when I have to see Dr. Martin again, to have her ask me about them sodas and all that kind of stuff like that. So I find that practically every spot I land myself regularly in my home, I keep a pitcher of water on a glass. So in my office, in my bedroom, in the living room where I hang out and what have you, I have like a pitcher of water and glass so that I see it and I go, okay, time to drink a glass of water. And I found that what I'm doing now is getting my 6, 7, 8 glasses of water in.
Excellent. And, you know, I say to persons, and Dr. Smith mentioned it, apart from the carbonated drinks and the tea and the coffee, just plain old water is what our body thrives on because our body is made up of about 70% water. And a lot of times when persons feel hunger, oftentimes it's because they're dehydrated. Every cell, every organ in the body requires water to function efficiently. So a lot of times we may feel hunger, but it's just if we give ourselves a glass of water, that hunger may subside. And it probably was not hunger, it was dehydration. And especially now that we're getting into the warmer months, the hotter months, and we're going to be outdoors, stay away from the sweet drinks because the sweet drinks pull energy from the body and it's treated as food and digest as sugars in the body. And so plain old simple water, you can spice that up with some fruit in it, throw some berries in it, slice a piece of orange and throw that in it. And after you've completed the water, then you chew on the oranges or the berries. You can spice your water up, but the body requires water throughout the day. I say to persons, look at the color of your urine. If you haven't had water for several hours and you go to the bathroom and pass urine, the urine is a little darker. So you need to put water in your system. You're dehydrated. So, you know, the simple rule of thumb is walk around with a water bottle as you do. You know, you keep a glass filled on your table. And every time you pass, you take a sip.
We have some text here, Doc, I want to read. One says, what about kidney cyst?
I will let Dr. Smith take that question.
Yeah, I was, Dr. Smith, somebody's asking, what about kidney cyst?
So kidney cysts. So there are multiple things that can cause kidney cysts. One of the simple things is as we get older, sometimes we're going to get cysts like we get cysts anywhere else. And then I think the most prevalent thing in our population with cystic, I'm going to call it cystic kidney disease, is something they call polycystic kidney disease. Polycystic kidney disease, we know, as it has predominantly a genetic variation to it or genetic influence to it. And we have some families or some islands, I should say, that have more of it than others. So we know that there are pockets from the Miguana or the Auckland's area. So we know that there have been pockets in Grand Bahama, in Bimini. So if we, there are things that happen with cysts, and what they do is eventually they will get bigger. Sometimes the cysts rupture, they cause pain, they cause blood in the urine, and eventually kidney function will start to wane or get worse, and you may end up with kidney failure because of it.
We have another question. Well, this is a comment. Says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Shout out to Dr. Smith. Great talk from Miss Janice Mummy.
How you doing, Miss Janice Mummy?
And then we have a text here. Says, I had eclampsia, a.k.a. toxemia, with kidney and liver failure about 30 years ago. Once the baby was delivered in a few weeks, my organ function normalized. However, my doctor told me that very likely I will develop kidney disease later in life. I'm in my 60s now, and so far I'm fine. Should I still be concerned about this?
So if I may help you, Mr. Lang, eclampsia. Mm-hmm. Eclampsia, and so we can have eclampsia, or people can have eclampsia associated with the pregnancy. And I'm going to say this in the most politically correct way that I can, that acute kidney injury or damage to the kidney is one of those risk factors for having it again or having end-stage renal disease later on in life. So, madam, I am ecstatic, and God bless you that you've not had further kidney injuries. I think that that's one to chalk up and say hallelujah to. And my suggestion is that you continue to have your annual visits, to have your renal function checked, your urine checked for protein, because again, you may not know, or we may not know, that something happens until it happens. But if you've not developed hypertension, you've not developed other problems, we call that one miracle, and we just continue to follow. So please see your primary care.
Dr. Smith, I've known of persons who presented with kidney failure early in life, and they almost all of them seem to have they're short, they're much shorter than normal, right? Does the disease stunt the growth, or is that just a coincidence? What happens?
So there is an association with bone disease and kidney disease. So there's the possibility for kidney disease early in life to cause you to be shorter. Mm. Outside of that, there is also the association that even if you develop it later in life, you start to get short again because of the reabsorption of bone or the lack of calcium, and then breaks in the bone.
Okay. Now I'm seeing some statistics here that says that in 2005, 6.7, about 23,000 Bahamians, I believe this would be, were pre-diabetic, and 9.2%, around 32,000, had diabetes. In 2014, that number jumped from 19% to almost 35,000 cases of diabetes. And this does not include the pre-diabetes. And that diabetes death rate, 37.9% deaths per 100,000 people.
Yes, sir. Amazing statistics. That was from a study that was done in Bahamas. Very accurate data, and if we're not careful, I think that we're surpassing that incidence or prevalence.
And that's you had mentioned it earlier, but we didn't dwell on it much, Doc. Family history. So you know, I go for my checkups and I'm asked, you know, is there anybody in the family that had diabetes? Is there anybody in the family that had hypertension? I get asked this quite a bit. And of course, I have a family history of diabetes. At one point, I was told I was pre-diabetic, and I have to tell you that created some concerns for me. And so then when I went to my subsequent two-year physical, they said, if you had any pre-diabetes, there's not a sign of it now. And so whatever I had done in terms of lifestyle changes had in fact corrected that.
So there is, and that's well done. So it means that you're doing what we should be doing. You're making the lifestyle changes, which is why, again, that's the number one thing. Every time we talk about treatment of something, lifestyle changes, or most things that are non-communicable diseases, not everything, but most. The other thing that I'm going to throw out there is another term. So you talked about pre-diabetes or being pre-diabetic. I want to throw out a term that I think we should all aim at if we are diabetic, and it's called diabetes reversal. Because truthfully, and all that means is you had diabetes and now you don't require medication for it anymore. And I'm not talking about just going out there and I believe in prayer and I believe in miracles, but praying that it goes away. But this is the actual documentation. This is now after the miracle has happened that you go to the priest and you show yourself to the priest, i.e. the physician, and your sugars are normal. Mm-hmm. And diabetes reversal, meaning, again, had diabetes. Now I don't need any medication to control it anymore. I'm controlling it on lifestyle changes mm-hmm. and diet. And I think that is, if we can, what we should strive for, knowing that there are some people that are going to require to take medication, but mm-hmm. we should go ahead and do the things that we should do or we can do. Get rid of the carbonated stuff. Get rid of the very sweet things. Start exercising from mild intensity to moderate intensity to intensity exercise regimes. Some people saying, you know, change the way you eat. So that's that intermittent fasting. Whatever it is that it takes for you to be able to achieve that mm-hmm. safely, I think is a wonderful thing.
Well, if my story, which Dr. Martin knows, is one, for me, it was a question of, you know, changing even the oils that I use for cooking from, you know, all the other oils we use to only olive oil or coconut oil is what I typically use if I'm cooking. I do intermittent fasting. I increase the grains in my diet and lowered some of the other things that weren't so helpful. Of course, exercising was important. And I had to do some research on the exercising because, you know, some of us jump into exercising with this great intensity and you can't keep it up. So I learned that if you, my age is just 55 now, you have to, you know, moderate exercise is the best thing for you. And, you know, Dr. Martin, I see you putting some stuff in there. You need to talk to us.
Medical nutrition therapy is what everybody needs, especially if you're pre-diabetic. As Dr. Smith said, we can reverse that in 3 months if you're pre-diabetic and you won't have to go on medication. Or if you are on a low-dose diabetic medication like metformin, 500 milligrams or 1,000 milligrams, doctor can take that, you know, discontinue that after 3 months. The A1C is controlled by the food we eat. And so if we're eating large amount of carbohydrates, those simple carbs, on a daily basis and for every meal. And when we talk about simple carbs, we're talking about rice, potato salad, macaroni, pastas with the white sauce, the white creamy sauce, the fried foods. And if we're eating that on a regular basis, then the carbohydrate intake is too high and it's going to affect your blood sugars over time. And so when persons come to a doctor for an annual physical, for instance, they may not be feeling anything similar to that of the silent killer, high blood pressure. Their pressure may be up and they don't know. Their blood sugars may be elevated and they don't know until the doctor draws the blood and send it to the lab. And so we can reverse prediabetes. We can also, in many cases, reverse type 2 diabetes, depending on how long you have been a diabetic and how long you've been on diabetic medication, especially insulin.
Now, Doc, you know, we're told that we need to quit or reduce smoking as one of those lifestyle changes if you're a smoker. But I get the impression that people who smoke cigars don't think they're doing the same thing as people who smoke cigarettes.
Any kind of smoke, it's going to affect your lungs. It's also going to affect your blood pressure and in some ways your blood sugar. And so smoking of any form of smoking, we recommend to discontinue if you're doing it. A lot of persons would say, men in particular, who smoke a cigar, well, we don't inhale. Invariably, some of that smoke is going to get into your lungs. But more than that, it's going to get into the tissues of the mouth. And the tissues of the mouth will be affected. And so the entire body will be affected over time. My father was diagnosed as having fourth stage lung cancer at the age of 81. He died at 82. And for many years, he just smoked a cigar. And he stopped at the age of 70, but the damage had already been done. And it was just cigar smoking. And so persons would say, well, I smoke a cigar in the evening to relax. Bear in mind that smoke, the tobacco from the cigar, all of that is getting into the mouth. And the tissues of the mouth belong to the entire body. And so over time, it's going to affect the entire body.
We know it's illegal, but let's not pretend that it's not true. Smoking marijuana.
Yes, there have been studies that show that, you know, persons who smoke marijuana on a regular basis, any type of smoking is going to affect your lungs and affect the tissues in the body over time. And there are studies out there on smoking marijuana for a long period of time and what it does to the brain and what it does to the lungs.
And then you have people who say, you know, every time I listen to these people talking about your kidneys, about your lungs, about your liver and all that kind of stuff, they're getting into, I'm a beer drink, I'm going to keep drinking beer. Is it a stop altogether, or is there some guidance on if you're going to do it, here's what you should do?
Well, there have been studies done using food and drink to determine the amount of food drinks a person should have. For a male, and one of those studies is the Mediterranean meal plan, and that's one of the meal plans that we recommend for persons who are not on peritoneal dialysis or dialysis, or even if you are, to follow that Mediterranean meal plan with minus the wine or the beer. And so the Mediterranean meal plan studies were done using that meal plan because it is high in vegetables and fruits, whole grains, and very little discretionary calories like cakes and pastries. And those are the calories that really cause the problems with our blood sugar, and very low in alcohol. They allow two glasses of wine for men, and one glass of wine for women, and less than two beers for men, and less than one beer for a woman. And so some meal plans, like the Mediterranean meal plan, which has been studied, allow a small consumption of alcohol, and it's a very small, and they give you a guideline on what women should have and what men should have. And of course, women's bodies are physically different. We have a different makeup than a man. And so, of course, it'll be less.
Dr. Smith, I have a question for you and about Dr. Martin. Does anyone who goes on dialysis ever get off of dialysis?
So, Shivango, I think that's the age-old question that a lot of people ask even before they start dialysis. Mm-hmm. When I start this, I have to stay on this for the rest of my life. And most times, what we do get is that most people that are on dialysis are on dialysis for life. And even if they're not going to be, I think that we give that straight in, yes, it's most likely going to be for life, simply because we get better compliance with people making up in the mind that this is, yes, what it's going to be or not. Mm. That said and done, the true answer to your question is there are some people that we put on dialysis that are not on dialysis for life. They have what we call acute kidney injury. Mm. And sometimes when you give them the dialysis, their organs come back and work better, depending on what the cause was. Mm. If I had used a lot of painkillers and the painkillers caused kidney injury, sometimes we can get better. If you've had a heart attack and your blood pressure's dropped for a while and you had low pressures, sometimes the kidney function gets better. there are even those that have, that are on dialysis and sometimes on dialysis for 3 or 4 years. And sometimes we've seen some of them. We call those miracles too. But where the blood pressure, where the person has been able to get off of the dialysis unit, off of the dialysis circle. But the knowledge always is, once you've had acute kidney injury or you've had need for dialysis, it is a risk factor to going on again. So your incidence towards going on dialysis becomes greater later. We also know that once people are, if they have that break where they've been able to come off of dialysis, they typically don't continue to do the things that they're supposed to do and invariably end up on dialysis again just because they think that they're cured and they can go back and do the things that they want to do. Mm. I mean, point in case recently, I had somebody that was feeling well and then started eating all the things that they were doing before, smoking again, drinking again. And then when I say, hey, the kidney function is going off again, what are you doing? And they said, oh, I didn't know that I had to stay off of those things. So again, if we don't do the right things, it's just going to push us back on it.
When we come, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, I would like us to, on this last segment, to talk about some of these psychosocial factors and some of the things that people who are now faced with kidney failure have to do on a routine basis to maintain or optimize their health as best they can. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to ZLive. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this final break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
Ain't much the car. The lady run into me, much the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
With so much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to ZLive. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us for these last remaining moments of the show where we have had the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Frederick Smith and Dr. Janet Martin of Doctors Hospital. This is our Wake Up to Your Life Health Thursday, first Thursday in the month. And we've been learning about the kidneys. This is March's Kidneys Month. And so we're trying to help you understand how to keep your kidneys healthy, and if not, if they are not healthy, what to do about it. What are these psychosocial factors that we need to be taking account of, and what does that mean?
So go ahead, Dr. John.
Well, I think both you and I can answer this because you see a lot of it in your practice. I see them on the tail end after they are referred from the physician. And it's usually, we touched on it earlier with persons claiming that they don't have the money. And so it's really, you know, what's going on in their lives at the moment. They may be going through some emotional stress at home or at work. And so that's some of the psychological factors that can lead to high blood pressure as well, and not caring for themselves, not having the finances to buy the food or the way they're living within their home or social or their communities. And so it all relates and ties into their life and the community, their built community, and what's happening socially in their built community, be that within their homes, in the community itself, and then at work. And that works with our psychology, and it ties in with our life choices.
Dr. Smith?
So I was going to add something a little bit more specific to that.
Okay.
Just think about it. Think about these people that come to dialysis. They come to dialysis three times a week. Most of them are elderly, or they've gone to work and their job has let them go because they don't want a dialysis patient on their job. And they don't officially say that, but that's what it is. The risk that comes with that, to find that they're taking 12 hours out of their work week to go somewhere else. They feel tired afterwards. So what you do is you put an increased burden on the caregivers. So imagine you're the person that's living in a home and your children are there, but they have work and they have their own children. They have to now drop the children to school, drop you to dialysis, work around, going to work, coming back to pick you up. The social stress has become very great. And I'm not sure if, although we do pay taxes now, so national insurance and has gone up and we have other taxes, I'm not sure if the benefits we get from a social standpoint are going to add up to the burden that it creates on family members. So I give a shout out and a background to all of the caregivers, because the caregivers face an astronomical goal of care. I mean, think of it, Dr. John, we tell them, they can't have corned beef anymore because it's too salty and too greasy. You tell them they can't have sausage anymore because it's too salty and it's too greasy. Then they can't have too much rice and they can't have too much grits. What do they have left to do? So even from a social standpoint, it changes the entire way that we live. So now somebody may have been able to cook some grits and sausage to feed the entire family for the morning. And now thinking, okay, I have to take the salt out of this, the butter out of this. I can't give them that. It has to be torn in. It's mind-boggling.
And Doc, you know, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because by and large, we are creatures of habit. And so we culturate ourselves into a way things should taste, a way things should be prepared. I was sitting down watching on YouTube with my son last night how one of the oldest tribes in the world live. And, you know, these people went out, caught a monkey, took the monkey, and they didn't strip the monkey. They just threw the monkey on the fire, burn off of the hair and what have you. And then they went to eat the monkey, right? And we're sitting there baffled because this is not something we could conceive of ourselves doing. But people get faced with these lifestyle changes that they now have to do. But the truth of the matter is their bodies and their minds are telling them, we don't eat this way. We don't like eating this way. And so people have to struggle with that. But it is also true that having habituated yourself to a certain flavor, taste, and lifestyle, with some practice and consistency, you can habituate yourself into a different one to help make you whole or healthy or better, right?
Yeah, that's true. And that's why I wanted Dr. Smith to add to it, because he sees the patients on dialysis, and those same patients have to be supported by family members. After a while, some of the family members, their caretakers get tired of the support. But if you're going to change those behaviors, you require the support from your whole team within your social network in order to have the mental capacity and the finances to make those changes. So you need persons who live in the home to help you, to support you, and to encourage you as you make those changes and to stay on the road of behavior change. Because behavior change isn't easy, as you mentioned, but you need that social support. And someone who's on dialysis, they're chronic, they're going into dialysis early in the morning, they're tired when they're finished, they can't go to work, or they go to work and they're not functioning at their highest level, it's going to tell on their mental health over time. And so the family support, the social support, they require that in order to maintain those changes so that their quality of life improves to a certain point.
Well, on the angle, and another angle to what you're saying, based on the same thing too, is, you know, we go around behaving in ways that people tell us, our physicians and others tell us, healthcare providers tell us, listen, you need to change this. And we think, well, it's my life. No, it is your life. But ultimately, when you go wrong, you're impacting the lives of other people. If you are a spouse, the spouse, the children, other family members who may have to come in and support with finances, with time, with effort. So there is no such thing as really you alone have a disease. You may have the disease, but the impact stretches beyond just your person.
That's right. And that's why it's important for us to take responsibility for our own health and wellness before we get sick. And that's why it's important for us to have those annual physicals. And when an illness or when something is identified through either a blood test or just physical exam, and the doctors recommend you make changes in a particular area of your health, it's you know, we should jump on it. We are ultimately responsible. But in the at the end of the day, when we're diagnosed with a chronic illness, such as kidney disease, that was a disease that we could have taken hold of prior to us moving into end-stage renal failure and then peritoneal or hemodialysis, which will then require the support of more than yourself. You need the support of your family members. And so the key thing message here today is every individual needs to take personal responsibility for their health and wellness. As we take personal responsibility for every other area of our lives. And when we do that and we love ourselves, then we would take care of ourselves and give our best self to our family members and the persons who we're going to require support from in the end.
Dr. Smith, a person now confronted with kidney failure, now on dialysis, what are the routine things now that they have to be doing? I mean, you know, there's this, the sugar monitoring, I've heard about that. And what are the things that now becomes a part of their life in terms of dealing with it?
So if I go very specifically to dialysis, you're now required to sit on my machine at least 4 hours, 3 times a week.
Okay.
So that on its own is an astronomical feat. You're going to be required to restrict your fluid intake, because if you don't pass urine, then you can't get rid of it except on dialysis. So we offer fluid restrictions. Mm. You have to stay away from almost everything that tastes good.
Mm-mm.
Because most things...
Doc, you know we just eat flavor, not food, right?
Oh, okay, thanks. Thanks. But things that are high potassium in it. So even the things that we called healthy before, you can't eat a whole lot. So we do citrus fruits or fruits and vegetables that are typically high in potassium, so they can't have that. Mm. We talk about eating all of the melons and stuff like that because, you know, they're healthy alternatives. But you can't have that because they have to put that in your balance.
Mm.
So you have to watch out for what you eat, what you drink. You have to think about the time it's going to take away from your loved ones and everything else. And so those are the restrictive things. However, I am going to say, though, that dialysis is life, in the first instance, life-saving, and then it is life-sustaining. So guess what? Even though we have restrictions, we abide by them so that we can stay alive.
And then a lot of people, like some folks who I know, have to in life deal with their regular eye care and foot care, because I've seen where their lives become a question of sight deterioration, sometimes losing altogether, or foot care where they're battling sores and the kind of stuff. So even that becomes a monitoring exercise for them.
Absolutely. Now that's probably more because of their primary disease. So they may have diabetes, and the diabetes becomes worse, so the vision changes. They may have hypertension not controlled. So there are a couple of things around that. Dialysis related. But however, yes, they play into everything.
So, Dr. Martin, Dr. Smith, as we get ready to wrap this up, though, because I believe in what they call the recency effect. The recency effect says the last thing we heard is typically the thing we remember best. So once again, we want to keep people away from having to have their kidneys fail. And so what are the things that we most should attend to as we try to do that?
I'll let Dr. Smith go first, and then I'll close it out.
What's this, Dr. John? I was about to say, you take that one, Dr. John. So what's the things that we should do? Is we should create good lifestyle choices from being born, so to speak. So good lifestyle choices from our children as they grow up, so that they can grow into healthy lifestyle changes, that they grow into being able to do or start into the exercises and that sort of thing well. Secondly, we need to follow up with our physicians and follow the advice of the same, or not just our physicians, but our healthcare team, including our physicians and our nutritionist. Dr. John?
Yes.
It's all on you.
It's all on me. So let's wrap this up. If you do have kidney disease, and diet and nutrition is going to play an important role in keeping your kidneys healthy. Eating a nutritious, well-balanced diet gives your kidneys all your essential vitamins. And so that is before you even are diagnosed with kidney disease, and even after you're diagnosed with kidney disease. But if you have chronic kidney disease, your diet is of extreme importance. And so certain foods, as Dr. Smith says, you're going to have to avoid for the rest of your life, and because they're just not good for your kidneys, and they make your kidneys work harder. So eating a kidney-friendly diet, avoiding some foods, adding in others, can help to maintain the current state of your kidneys so that you don't progress into total, complete failure, kidney failure.
Okay, well, folks, you heard it. I'm smarter for it. Now I have some things I have to add to my efforts to be healthier and make sure my kidneys are taken care of. Dr. Frederick Smith, thank you so very much. I just love the doctors that come to us from doctors through these programs, because all of you are just so easy with your language and descriptions of what happens, and it makes it possible for us to understand it so much better. Thank you very much, sir, for your excellent education of us on the kidneys today.
And the pleasure is mine anytime.
Thank you very much. And Dr. Martin, thank you. You always select very good folk for us to get this information. And so we'll talk to you again next month, first Thursday, to Wake Up to Your Life by Doctors Hospital.
Thank you very much for having us, and we'll see you next month. God bless.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I trust you have a great, great evening. God bless. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God spares life.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.